Good morning, and you're very welcome this morning as we continue to go through the history, at least of the kings, the chronicles of the kings of the Southern Kingdom. We are in 2 Chronicles. I'm going to read through 3 chapters today. They're not long chapters, so we're going to go through 3 chapters today about King Asa. So we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapters 14 to 16 this morning. Now, sometimes when we read these stories from the Old Testament, especially, that's all we think, that they're stories. And what we need to keep reminding ourselves is that these are real stories about real people who are part of the story of Jesus. They're part of the salvation story. So, going from King Saul to King David, Solomon, Rehoboam, Abijah, which we looked at last week, and now Asa. These were all real men living their lives during times that are difficult for us to imagine. There's 3,000 years of history between us and David. Yet we see the same grace and mercy that God shows us in his relationships with these kings of Israel. Now, the 3 chapters that we will look at today are about the character of the man, King Asa, rather than the account of his reign. And that's the way it is, really, for most of these in the Chronicles. The chronicler wrote differently than the historian for 1 and 2 Kings. And overall, Asa was one of the good kings. There was peace for most of his 41 years as king, with one skirmish that we'll talk about and one cold war that kind of put a stain on the end of his reign and his time as king. And that is why I like Asa and some of the other kings. They were real. Can relate to them. Some of them truly tried to do what was right in the eyes of God, and they also made mistakes. And if these stories were works of fiction and to be used as morality plays, the endings would be different. Man would be glorified rather than God. No, these stories are about real people living messy lives, doing some good, and making mistakes. They make mistakes just like Peter, James, John, and Thomas, some of the disciples, made mistakes in the New Testament. We make mistakes. We can connect with messy people. So despite having a father, grandfather, and great-grandfather that made many mistakes, Asa desired to seek the Lord. And that's the main focus for today. And each chapter will be a point. We'll do this a little different today. I will read a chapter without any comments as I read through the chapter, and then we'll discuss that chapter, that point, before moving on to the next chapter. And then we're going to review what 3 lessons there that we can learn from King Asa. 3 lessons that were for the Jews as they were coming out of exile, which the Chronicles were written for those Jews coming out of exile. And 3 lessons, the same 3 lessons for us today. So let's go ahead and get started here. And we'll look at 2 Chronicles, chapters 14 to 16, and I'll start reading chapter 14. Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land had rest for 10 years. And Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He took away the foreign altars and the high places, and broke down the pillars and cut down the asherim, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to keep the law and the covenant. He also took out of all the cities of Judah, the high places, and the incense altars, and the kingdom had rest under him. He built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, for the Lord gave him peace. And he said to Judah, "Let us build these cities and surround them with walls and towers, gates and bars. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us peace on every side." So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, armed with large shields and spears, and 280,000 men from Benjamin that carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots and came as far as Marisha. And Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up their lines of battle in the valley of Zephathah at Marisha. And Asa cried to the Lord his God, "O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you. In your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you." So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar, and the Ethiopians fell until none remained alive, for they were broken before the Lord and his army. The men of Judah carried away very much spoil, and they attacked all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord was upon them. They plundered all the cities, for there was much plunder in them, and they struck down the tents of those who had livestock, and carried away sheep in abundance and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem. But what are some clues concerning the character traits of King Asa? Did he have a heart for God or a prideful heart? As I said earlier, Asa is considered to be one of the good kings. He was on the nice list. What do we see about his character? Well, twice we are told he relied on the Lord, and 9 times in these 3 chapters we are told that he was seeking the Lord or sought the Lord. Despite the ungodly examples of his father and grandfather, he did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. How did he exemplify this godly character to his people? Well, he went through the land and he cleared out all the pagan places, the altars, the high places, the pillars, and the ashram, anything that was pagan. He destroyed all the pagan places of worship, and he commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers. The blessings that followed were that the land had rest and the Lord gave him peace. The heart of the king was that he desired to do good. He sought the Lord. He claimed the throne and he restored the Davidic covenant. He was correcting all the spiritual abuses that had crept in, starting way back when King Solomon married all those pagan wives and allowed them to practice their false religions. King Asa was concerned for the spiritual welfare of his people, God's people. And he showed his concern by providing spiritual leadership. First, notice that his relationship with God was personal. Verse 12 says that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He had to show that this was personal. This wasn't just a fad, but this was something that he believed in. Because as the king goes, so goes the people. If the king goes astray, so do the people. If the king is seeking the Lord, so will the people. Secondly, because it was personal for him, then he had the right to command the people to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers. He was reminding them of their spiritual history. The Lord is the God of their ancestors. The Lord is the one who brought them out of Egypt. The Lord is the one who cared for them all those 40 years in the desert. The Lord is the one who brought them into the promised land. He's the one that gave Solomon the wisdom and the discernment. He's the one that has cared for them. And thirdly, as he instructs his people to rebuild and fortify key cities, he reminds them that the land is theirs because God gave them the land. We have sought the Lord, our God. It's not just a personal thing for Asa, but it's a corporate thing for all of Israel. The Lord is our God. Worshiping the Lord is personal for Asa. It's important for the people to remember their spiritual history, because they should be seeking and worshiping the Lord as well. Now, since Asa sought the Lord when he faced, excuse me, since Asa sought the Lord when he faced adversity, he knew that he could go to the Lord. When Ethiopia decided to attack Judah with a massive army, that was twice the size. What did Asa, who did Asa turn to for help? Did he go to other nations? Did he go to other armies? No. He went to the Lord. Verse 11 is his prayer to the Lord for help. We rely on you. In fact, the hymn, We Rest on Thee, is based on this prayer. We rest on Thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. Strong in thy strength, safe in thy keeping tender, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. Notice three times in verses 12 to 14 how God was the one who fought the battle for them. Verse 12, so the Lord defeated. Verse 13, for they were broken before the Lord. In verse 14, for the fear of the Lord was upon them. The Lord fought the battle. And they received the plunder, the spoils, and they returned to Jerusalem. See, Asa was resolute in his seeking the Lord and allowing the Lord to guide his life. He got rid of the pagan influences that had swayed the people for decades, and he worked hard to bring his people, the Lord's people, back to a right relationship with God. Now let's take a look at the next chapter to see how he did that. Chapter 15. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time Israel was without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when, in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them. In those times there was no peace to him who went out, or to him who came in. For great disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the land. They were broken in pieces. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every sort of distress. But you take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. As soon as Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Azariah, the son of Oded, he took courage and he put away the detestable idols from all the land of Egypt. The land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities that he had taken in the hill country of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the vestibule of the house of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and those from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who were residing with them. For great numbers had deserted to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. They were gathered at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of the reign of Asa. They sacrificed to the Lord on that day from the spoil that they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord. the God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, but that whoever would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, should be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. They swore an oath to the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets and with horns, and all Judah rejoiced over the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and had sought him with their whole desire, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Even Maacah, his mother, King Asa removed from being queen mother because she had made a detestable image for Asherah. And Asa cut down her image, crushed it, and burned it at the brook Kedron. But the high places were not taken out of Israel, which is referring to the northern kingdom. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was wholly true all his days. And he brought into the house of God the sacred gifts of his father and his own sacred gifts, silver and golden vessels. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. See, we all need that person in our life that encourages us when we need it and warns us when we need it. That person will give us a hug, pat our back, tell us we'll be okay, and then they'll also kick us in the backside and tell us to stop being stupid. Don't be an idiot. Don't be an idiot. My best friend during primary and secondary school, Mark Jones, was that person for me. We could talk about anything to each other. We could encourage each other, and we could admonish each other. We were there for each other during the highs and lows of life for about 10 years. The Lord sent someone like that to King Asa. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, and he went out to meet Asa. He basically said, "The Lord will be with you as long as you're seeking him. Seek him, you're going to find him. And if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Then Azariah gave a brief history of the failures of Israel. They were without God, they were without teachers, and without the law. And when they cried out to God, he answered. When they sought him, they found him. And because of their lack of worship of the Lord, they never had peace. They were attacked on every side because the Lord troubled them, the Lord distressed them. "But you," Azariah said, "take courage. Don't let your hands remain idle. Work hard for the Lord and you shall be rewarded." So that was a great encouragement and a great warning. Seek the Lord and he will be found. Forsake the Lord and he will forsake you. Asa was already seeking the Lord and he had commanded Judah to do the same, but taking down all the pagan sites and altars wasn't enough. If the worship of the living God was to be restored, then the temple needed to be repaired. The priests and Levites needed to get started with the teaching, and the law was to be followed. He needed to continue the restoration of worship that his father Abijah had started. Now notice who gathered together to worship in verse 9. All Judah and Benjamin, which is the southern kingdom, plus those from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who were residing with them. So if we remember, again, back in chapter 11, when Jeroboam kicked out the priests and the Levites from the northern kingdom, they left and they went to Jerusalem, and many more people followed them. And it appears that even more deserted the northern kingdom, because it says they saw that the Lord his God was with him, meaning with King Asa. They saw that King Asa was being obedient to the Lord, while the northern kingdom was not. So isn't it wonderful to read how excited Israel was to worship the Lord? And they sacrificed 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. They were joyful and excited. They were committed to the Lord. They renewed their covenant with the Lord as they were seeking him with all their heart and all their soul. And the Lord gave them rest because they sought the Lord. King Asa was so committed to the Lord that not even his mother, Maacah, was above the law. He removed her from being the queen mother due to her pagan beliefs. He cut down her idol, crushed it, burned it, and threw it into the river. I mean, that's a great example to his people that show that his mother wasn't getting preferential treatment. He restored the sacred items back into the temple, and God gave him peace. King Asa had been resolute in his commitment to the Lord, and he was courageous to carry out these religious reforms when all the surrounding cultures were pagan. It took the word of the Lord from a prophet to get King Asa's attention, and it took courage to do what the rest of the world was not doing. God gave King Asa rest and peace for his faithfulness. Now let's read the next chapter and see how things ended for Asa. He relied on the world instead of the Lord later in life. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah. So Baasha is king of in the northern kingdom. But he might permit no one to go out and or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, "There is a covenant between you and me and you, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I am sending to you silver and gold. Go break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me." And Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And when Baasha heard of it, he stopped building Ramah and let his work cease. Then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber with which Baasha had been building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he gave them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. You have done foolishly in this. For from now on, you will have wars." Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in the stocks in prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this, and Asa inflicted cruelties upon some of the people at the same time. The acts of Asa from first to last are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet, and his disease became severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but sought help from physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, dying in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in the tomb that he had cut for himself in the city of David. They laid him on a bier that had been filled with various kinds of spices prepared by the perfumer's art, and they made a very great fire in his honor. Now, there are times when we get comfortable in our faith. Now, what does that mean? Well, we rely more on our own wisdom and strength and not on God. We think we are making our own good choices. We don't bother God with the small stuff. We can handle it. I got this. I know what God would do. The world reacts in a certain way, and it works out for them, so I can do the same. If I get into trouble, which I'm sure I won't, then I'll ask God for help. Does any of that sound like a good plan? No. The disciples started getting comfortable, but then they couldn't cast out a demon. In Matthew 17, a father's son was demon-possessed. He had taken the boy to the disciples, but they were unable to do anything. After Jesus cast out the demons, the disciples asked Jesus why they were not able to do so. Jesus said it was due to their lack of faith. In Mark's gospel, it tells us that Jesus told them that they needed to fast and pray. They're relying on their own strength and not asking the Lord for help. they had grown comfortable in their faith. Well, this chapter of Asa's life shows us that he had grown comfortable in his faith. Instead of relying on God to fight his battles, he listened to the voices and wisdom of the world and decided to make an alliance that was already there, just wanted to renew it. The problem was that the reliance was based on silver and gold from the house of the Lord, the same silver and gold that he had restored to the temple years earlier. Without consulting God, he used his own wisdom to take from the temple and make an alliance with another man, another country. Worldly wisdom swayed the heart of a godly king. And it happens. Man makes mistakes. And the disciples made many mistakes when they relied on themselves and not on God. Asa knew the history of his people. He knew the mistakes that David made, that Solomon had made. And here Solomon's the wisest man ever, and he still made unwise choices. And the mistakes of his father and grandfather, yet he felt comfortable. He probably thought that nothing could happen to him. The worldly wisdom works, so why not follow that, their sound advice? Well, enter another prophet of the Lord, Hanani. Hanani was God's voice of truth. He confronted King Asa and said that because he relied on an alliance with man and did not rely on God, then he would not have peace, but wars the rest of his reign. He forsook the Lord as he had been warned by the previous prophet, Azariah, so many years earlier. He followed that advice for a couple of decades, but then he became comfortable. Hanani told him that God was always watching. Verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him." God was ready to listen and to help. Asa decided to do things his way. What happens when we do things our way and fail? And then somebody basically says, "I told you so." Well, we get defensive. We get angry. We might act out against them. Well, that's exactly how Asa reacted. He got angry with Hanani. He put him in prison and then was cruel to others at the same time. He was defensive. He became angry and he hurt the people that actually cared for him. He lost sight of God. He lost sight of what was important. He became too comfortable in his faith and he had to face the consequences for his actions. Don't think that God was too harsh on him. He knew the story. He knew the truth. He knew the blessings and the curses. He became bitter and he became prideful. And in his last years, he had a disease in his feet. And instead of praying to the Lord, he trusted in man. Now, God might have worked through those doctors, those physicians, but due to Asa's pride and refusal to go to the Lord let him suffer and die in his pride. Now, do I think I will see Asa in heaven? I hope so. He had great faith in the Lord. He was a man who made mistakes, as we all make mistakes. But he had trusted in the Lord, his God. Well, what does this mean for Israel? What does it mean for us? Well, we got three lessons from King Asa. Seek the Lord. What did this mean for Israel? As they were ready to go back to Jerusalem, what encouragement was the chronicler giving them? We need these same encouragements as well. And that first one, for post-exilic Israel, meaning those who have been in exile and now are going back to Israel, back to Jerusalem, to rebuild the city and the temple. And this first lesson for them and for us is to seek the Lord. So as they rebuilt Jerusalem and the temple, their strength and protection into the future would be from the Lord. Human wealth, skill, and wisdom can never substitute the blessing and provision of the Lord their God. If they would seek God, as Asa did, no enemy would be a real threat to them. God took care of a million-man army, twice the size of theirs. God could have taken care of King Baasha if Asa had asked him. We need to heed that same advice. We must put our total trust and seek the Lord. He will fight our battles for us. We need to resist the urge to seek revenge and to have total control over everything. God has taught that lesson to me a couple of times. And it's not easy living through those consequences. I was made redundant after 19 and a half years with a Christian company by the new president. He did not treat a lot of people very nicely. And I decided that I had access to the board members of that company and they would see my side of the situation. So I made a lot of poor decisions. I spread a lot of gossip. And I tried to do things my way. And I lost. And God had other plans for me. God had other plans for that president. God has his ways, and he showed me that mine were wrong. Romans 12 tells us, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. The second lesson is to depend and rely upon the Lord. Just as Asa was seeking the Lord and relying on him early in his reign, so should we seek the Lord in all things, relying on him. Depending on the Lord. As James wrote in 4:8, come near to God and he will come near to you. So the post-exilic Jews who've been sitting in Babylon for 70 years and they're getting the chronicles, these chronicles written for them to encourage them, they needed to make sure that they had removed all the idols from their hearts. They needed a heart totally dependent and relying on the Lord. Seeking the Lord and all that they would be doing as they rebuilt the city and the temple. No matter how great or small the situation, they needed the Lord's wisdom and strength. And they needed to be worshiping the Lord and the Lord only. As do we. We need to remove those idols from our lives. And yes, this is a recurring theme in the Chronicles because that was a recurring problem for Israel. And it's a recurring theme in our lives today. Who or what are we seeking? Who or what are we relying on for wisdom and strength? Who or what are we depending on? The answer to both questions is we need to be relying on the Lord. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Are you seeking the Lord and his righteousness in everything you do? Are we believing these words when we sing? And this is another verse from We Rest on Thee. We go in faith, our own great weakness feeling, and needing more each day thy grace to know. Yet from our hearts a song of triumph pealing, we rest on thee. And in thy name we go. Well, the third lesson to learn from King Asa is don't get comfortable in your faith. Don't be complacent. Don't trust being self-sufficient. The exiles needed God for everything. There was no chance to be comfortable. They were to remember that when they did return to Jerusalem and was rebuilding everything, don't trust in their own self-sufficiency. Trust in the Lord for everything. And that is our lesson as well. Don't get too comfortable. Don't think that we got this. Don't think that we don't need God today, because that leads to the next day, and then the next day, and then a week, a month, a year goes by. When was the last time I prayed? Why is my life in such a mess? God was good to me. Where is he now? Well, he never left. He's been waiting for you to talk to him. He watches the earth and he is looking at the heart of each man. He knows who is seeking him and who are not. He knows who is forsaking him. And he knows who is relying on him. So the big idea for today, for these lessons from King Asa, is to seek the Lord with your whole heart. Rely on the Lord for everything in our lives. And trust in the Lord your whole life, so that you can sing the last verse of that hymn, "We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. Thine is the battle, and thine shall be the praise. When passing through the gates of pearly splendor, victors, we rest with thee through endless days." Well, let's close this morning by singing through that hymn.